Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, All Things New. The scripture reading is Isaiah 62, 1-3. Thank you to Glynis, Earl, Barbara, and Dawn for being part of the video. Happy birthday this week to Debbie, and happy anniversary to Care and Tim. In between the recording of this video and its release, we learned of the passing of Mark McDonnell, a former member of our congregation. We're praying for his family as they mourn him.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Yay. I know it doesn't seem like it would be that big of a deal, but there's something kind of special about a new year. I have a really good friend that, well, actually, he's not a really good friend, a friend who, he's not a really good friend. Let's tell the truth here. It's Sunday, right? Who talked about aspirations instead of New Year's resolutions, which I kind of loved the idea of because, you know, when you aspire to something or you have an aspiration about something, there isn't that stigma of, oh, I might fail or I might not be able to achieve this. It's just something that you hope to do. So I hope your aspirations are things that you're able to take into the new year, and hopefully they're all things that you enjoy or benefit someone else. So this morning we have something amazing. Well, every day we have something amazing, to be honest. But today is a semi-centennial. So centennial, most of us of a certain age lived through the centennial of Canada in 1967. And most of us are familiar with a semi-circle. So it's a semi-centennial that we're celebrating with Ed and Rhonda. 50 years of blissful marriage. Never a bump. Yay. Also, if you have any suggestions for the 2024 budget, also speak to Adam. Apparently, Adam's our go-to person for pretty much everything, or Amy or one of the elders. And if you have any receipts that are outstanding for the church, please make sure that they speak to Adam before January 15th so that you get some reimbursements. We also want to talk about Nima and ask for your prayers that because she has her immigration visa and a flight booked to arrive in Canada on January 20th. So that's pretty exciting for her. Our dear brother Paul has had the first of a few surgeries. Poor guy's got kidney stones. I understand that's one of the most painful things. And so if you would pray for him and for his employment challenges and all the uncertainty that goes around, you know, having a surgery and what comes next, it's easy to talk about it. It's really hard to live through it. So if you would let your heart be stirred by that and pray for him. Our dear Diane is off with a cold today, and we pray for her to have quick getting betterness. I know we could say healing, but we hope that, oh yeah, there you go, a swift recovery. That's a much better way to say it. And then my heart was hurting this morning when I read in the bulletin that Marion is in the hospital with some bleeding. And then, of course, our dear Care, our dear Joe, of course, and our dear Pam. I pray that you would be praying for them. So let's go ahead and pray for them together. Dearest Lord God, there are so many good things and really heavy things to pray for. I pray that you would be with Nima and pray everything goes smoothly with her flights and immigration to Canada. We pray for Paul that you would be working with the surgeons and with his body for healing. We pray for Diane to be feeling better really soon. And we pray especially for Marion and, gosh, the incredible concern and worry that must be surrounding their family at this time. We pray that you would comfort them. And, of course, our ongoing prayers for our dear Joe, for care, and for our dear Pam, that you would be continuing to work in their lives to restore them, God, restore them to us. God, we love you. We ask your blessing on this service, the last one of 2023, but looking forward to a new beginning with the new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, as Glennis, as Glennis alluded to New Year's resolutions, well, here I am doing the table on the 31st of December. So it's natural to sort of think about somewhat of a cultural reality, but I thought, well, resolutions, when did they begin? Ancient Babylonia, 4,000 years ago. The Babylonians would make resolutions to their gods. They usually pledged their loyalty to the king and made promises to pay their debts and to return borrowed items. There's probably lots of guys in here who are thinking, so-and-so have my tools. Well, they believed that if they kept their resolutions, that the gods would be pleased. But if they didn't, then the gods would be displeased. In ancient Rome, the Gregorian calendar, the new year began in 46 BC. Julius Caesar made a declaration to move the official beginning of the new year from March to January to honor a Roman god. And this god was two-faced. The god could look backwards and the god could look forwards. Interesting. The first recorded use of New Year's resolution, in terms of Christianity, there was Mass and it was held New Year's Eve. Worshippers would reflect on the past year and make resolutions to do better in the year ahead. In 1813, a Boston newspaper actually coined the term New Year resolution. And as part of the article, the author said, "I believe there are multitudes of people accustomed to receive injunctions of New Year resolutions who will sin all the month of December with a serious determination of beginning the New Year with new resolutions and new behavior, and thus will wipe away all their former faults." In the United States in 2022, 23% of resolutions involved living healthier. 21% were focused on personal improvement and happiness. 20% resolved to lose weight. However, of the 41% of Americans who made resolutions that year, only 9% followed through. So don't feel too bad. Well, here we are meeting around the table. As a teacher, I always thought about the, you know, the old joke, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. But as I started to prepare this, I guess I came up with lots of R's in terms of the new year. First of all, in terms of a new year, reflection and remembrance. So we look back. What is it about the past that we want to change as we move forward? Maybe there's a resolve and a resolution to do better in the coming year. And usually we might have specific goals that we want to accomplish. Well, then there's also a response. By actually doing the work necessary to accomplish those goals. In other words, action is required. So perhaps as we meet around the table this morning, we might think about the R's, remembrance, looking back and reflecting. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Jesus said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So I remember as I meet around the table, but I also am proclaiming, that's present. We're all proclaiming to each other that the Lord Jesus died, but he was buried and he was resurrected. So we proclaim present tense until future he comes again. But also in verse 28, it says, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So there is a sense of, okay, I think we all agree, none of us are worthy. But there is a sense in which I'm a participant. I'm examining myself, looking at my faults, and maybe from that, how I want to improve in the Lord's work, even this week. So there's a resolve. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, and Paul writing, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So there's this resolution that is the core of what is important to us in our life, is to know Jesus and to recognize the price that was paid as he was crucified. Well, then what's our response? Acting upon the resolution. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." And so he says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. There's an eternity, there's a spirituality, there's a price that has been paid for our salvation. So this world is going on, but on a different plane, we are contemplating a different sense of reality as we think about the price that was paid for our salvation here this morning. So, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old," 2023, but maybe more importantly, "the old nature that I had, the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled," another R word, "who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." So our response is that we go forth and we live for him. We're ambassadors. So rather than a New Year's resolution, maybe it should be a new week's resolution as we meet around the table to remember the price that was paid for our salvation. to remember what has been done for us, but then also to say, I examine myself. How can I do better for Christ this week as I leave this place? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love, which prompted you sending Jesus into this world. We thank you for his resolve to go to the cross. We thank you that he was willing to put us first. And for that, we really do not understand the love that was involved. Father, as we meet around the table, we thank you for his sacrifice. As we eat the bread and drink of the cup, we pray that you will help us to reflect in our own lives and our own thinking about how we can do better in terms of putting you first and being your ambassadors this week. We pray that you will bless us as we contemplate these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the reading this morning is Isaiah 62, verses 1 to 3. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy New Year. Today I want to talk about that. I'd like to talk about all things being new. The beginning of the Bible begins with new things. The end of the Bible finishes with beginnings again. All things, one day, God promises, will be made new. There's something special about newness. A new year. For some, a new baby will be coming into the world. Not in my family. I hope. A new friendship will take place this year. A new career may take place for some. A new understanding of Scripture. Throughout the ages and years, we keep finding new understandings of Scripture. A new teaching from the gospel itself. And a newness that will continue throughout the ages. The newness of Jesus himself. Because spiritual newness doesn't change. It continues to reveal itself. Even though there's an Old Testament, it will be a mistake to suggest that the New Testament overshadows the Old Testament. They don't. They join hand in hand, heart to heart. There are many scriptures reminding us of God making all things new. Genesis, in the beginning, Revelation, all things becoming new. God making all things new. Even today, we keep understanding new things from Scripture. So my purpose today is to have a brief message just reminding us of the newness of God. And maybe as this week goes by, you'll also understand some of the newness that God gives to us on occasion. So here we go. In Psalm chapter 40 in verse 3, he says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. People are wonderful. We sing these wonderful hymns throughout the ages. Someone was writing them down. I believe very strongly that God's Holy Spirit has provided the words, beautiful, wonderful hymns that will be sung throughout the ages. Can you imagine the choir in heaven even today? All things being made new. So in Psalm 98, in verse 1, it's almost a command, if you will. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." Because God has done marvelous things, write a new song about that. Share this. And then in Isaiah, an amazing writer says, "See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Even before they spring into being, I will announce these new things to you." 42 and verse 9. Isaiah 62 and 2. "The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name." Isaiah is so bright, is so powerful, is so engaging. 65, 17 through 19, I think one of the great scriptures in all the Bible, because the end of the Bible sort of says the same thing. Here's what Isaiah says. "See, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they even come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in all my people." And then listen to these words. "The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more." No more tears. No more anguish. No more pain. No more sorrow. And interesting enough, even in the book of Lamentations, a book that I would hardly recommend not to read, the book of Lamentations is a horrible, painful understanding of what people had to go through, suffered, tortures, and terrible, and I'll leave it at that. But even in this book of Lamentations, even in the sadness, even in the horror, the writer, probably Jeremiah, we're not sure, says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope in my God. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. I say to myself, the Lord is enough. He is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." Throughout the ages, even to this day, it's so very, very true. And then in the book of Ezekiel, a wonderful historian, he writes that God gave Israel an undivided heart because he put a new spirit in Israel, that they would remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, and that they would follow God's decrees and careful, always careful, to keep his laws, that they will be God's people and God will be their God. And even today, God is our God. Isn't that right? Jesus is our Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our Holy Spirit. Thousands of years ago, even today, we come together as one. And yet, it's new. Newness will continually come. In Ezekiel 36 and 26, God says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Holy Spirit in you." and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep these decrees. So then in this very brief book of the Old Testament, in Zephaniah, in chapter 3, in verse 5. And if we could just remember this every morning, if I could just remember this every morning, morning by morning, God dispenses his justice, and every new day, he does not fail. In him, there is no shame. It's a reminder of the preciousness, if that's such a word, of God himself. And then moving into the New Testament, there are so many scriptures reminding us of spiritual newness. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." It's newness, this good news. Luke 22, Jesus said in the same way, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the," help me, "new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for all of us." And then in John 13 and 34, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another." Not just that, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Why? "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Just think of the love of God, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit with their arms all around us. That one day, we'll look God in the eyes. That'll be something new. That one day, we'll look Jesus in the eyes. That'll be something new. One day, we will look at God's Holy Spirit, who helped created even the universe, in the eyes and see him face to face. It's not just fanciful. It's a reality, the newness that we will enjoy even today and the next day and the next day, but the future, standing together, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you and me. That's the promise of God. And because of that new command, I want to give this to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then the church begins to spread in Jerusalem, as you may recall, then in Rome, then in Corinth, then in Galatia, then in Ephesus and Colossae, Rome and Rome and Rome over and over again. And more people coming to the Lord, and their lives are changing, their faith is growing, their doubts are disappearing. And they have a promise of salvation that they hold strong to. Peace and love define them, just as it should be for us today. What defines you and me? Well, who defines you and me? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Peace of love defines them. So Romans 6:4, very, very popular scripture, one that we've used many, many times before baptism. "We were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father may live in us in a new life, a brand new life." Do you remember when you were baptized? This wonderful feeling of connection, this wonderful feeling of love, being put in the water and coming up out of the water, representation of Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection, all of those times, all of those things coming together, something that was brand new, a new covenant. And if anyone is in Christ, Paul says, that person is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I was thinking about this very early this morning. I'm in my 46th year of preaching, and newness continues to show itself over and over and over again. Age doesn't stop newness. It never does. If anyone's in Christ, that person, no matter their age, is a new person. So even following the Old Testament of circumcision, the Apostle Paul says, don't get all caught up in that. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. But here's what counts. A new creation in Christ. And that's very true for us even today. Or in Ephesians, when Paul writes, such a wonderful, wonderful book. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And God's Holy Spirit helps us with that. And then in Colossians 3, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but in Hebrews 8, he says, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, with all Israel. No longer will a person teach a neighbor and say, you must know the Lord, because everyone will know the Lord. One day, new heaven and a new earth coming together. And no one will have to say to their neighbor, hey, do you know the Lord? We all know the Lord. He lives inside us. Here we are. This new covenant has come to us, no matter our age. So Christ is the mediator of a brand new covenant. And then he says, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and assurance. Remember in the Old Testament, you couldn't go near that Ark of the Covenant. You couldn't touch that Ark of the Covenant. In reality, because of Jesus, there's a newness. Today, you could sit on that Ark of the Covenant. You could hold that Ark of the Covenant. You could touch that Ark of the Covenant. And maybe one day when we get to heaven, we'll see what it looks like. No worries about touching it or not touching it, because it's all brand new. It will be amazing. Since we have confidence to enter that most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through that curtain. We can walk through that curtain at any time with a sincere heart and assurance. And then coming to the end, chapter 11 and verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God. He already sees us there. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We will be there. He sees us there even now. So in 1 Peter He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish. It won't spoil, it won't fade. It's kept in heaven for us." But in keeping with Christ's promise, listen to what he says. "But in keeping with all these promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, heaven and earth coming together as one." And a very unique scripture from John: "I am writing to you a new covenant, a new command. Its truth is seen in him, because the darkness has passed away and the light is already shining." So in Revelation, as we conclude the scriptures, right from Genesis to the end, in this wonderful newness that God gives us, says this: "The one who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on him the name of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." Heavenly Jerusalem coming down to be with us. And then these words that are just so precious, because again, for us: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with us, and God himself will be with us and be our God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes,' because," and I'm sure many of you could quote this, "there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, for this old order of things has passed away." And then it says, oh wow, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new. I am making everything new for us.' May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all God's people. Amen."
Okay. There's a part of being here in little tiny Beamsville with not a whole pile of people. Could be more, wish they were more, there aren't more, this is what we got. Or it's just Joe Glynnis, Joe, Jeff, Joe, Lynn, like we're just us. But as I was sitting there and Dawn was speaking, I thought, okay, who are we that we get to hear a man speak to us about this amazing thing that for sure is going to happen to us? Like, there's a little part of me, I've been in really big churches, I've heard a lot of people talk, but there's something that makes, like, Dawn, thank you. I know that you are merely speaking what the Lord has spoken to you, but we've heard something amazing. It makes my hair kind of stand on end. Gives me kind of goosebumps just to think. And as an older woman, I think I need to hold on to my faith. And that inspires me to hold on to my faith until the very end. We are so blessed to have you, Dawn, speak to us what I know the Lord wants us to hear. And so I thank you, and I pray that as we move into a new year, we will truly aspire to grasp hold of that all the more. We are blessed beyond all reason. It is truly a gift of God, and you are our gifts to each other. And I'm so grateful for every single one of you. Thank you so much for coming. And thank you for sharing your hearts and your faith with each one of us. Even though we're just little podunk Beamsville, we are amazing together. Let's pray. Dearest Lord God, truly you are amazing. What you have given us, the gift that you give us is... it's every answer to our heart. It's every answer to our heart's desire. God, help us always to say yes to you. Help us always to come to you when we don't say yes to you, because we know that you are our Heavenly Father and you just love us so dearly. God, we ask your blessing, especially on those who are sick and people who are traveling. God, we know that they need to hear all these amazing things from your word. God, we love you, we thank you, and thank you for all the things that you're making new. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.